Thank you, Kyle. This morning, Pastor Sean asked me to preach on the songs of Christmas, the theme that he's been preaching on. And, you know, there was just a second there in which my mind went to that grandmama got ran over by a reindeer. I thought, no, I better not go there. But with that, he gave me some direction about Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and this passage of scripture in Luke in which that song is derived. Christmas songs have been a part of our lives. I like the little girl who said to her father, Daddy, I don't think we should ignore Jesus at Christmas. He says, I don't either. Why do you say that? She said, well, we sang this morning in church, Oh, Come, Let Us Ignore Him. And that's not quite right, but this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, when I began to look at it, I found that in the 1800s in Massachusetts, there was a church that wanted some new hymnals, and they were struggling to make that a possibility. They didn't have the money, and they heard about a new company that made medicines, and this company was willing to furnish the hymnals for this church if they would just allow some advertisements in the hymnals. Well, they struggled with that, but they decided to concede on that, and so they got the hymnals, and it was on Christmas morning that the congregation was all excited to have their new hymnals, and the pastor said, let's turn to 138 and sing together, Hark the Herald. And the song went something like this. I'm not going to sing it, so don't run for the doors. It goes, Hark the herald angels sing. Beecham's pills are just the thing. Peace on earth and mercy mild, two for man and one for child. I don't know if that's a true story, but that's what I found. As I read this, I really realized how quickly you and I kind of gloss over this message of Christmas. This powerful scene in which we have the shepherds and the angels and the message of the new birth. It's a picture that we can miss the glory and majesty of pretty easily. First, you have these angels. You know, we don't know a lot about angels. Billy Graham wrote a book many years ago, Angels, God's Secret Agents. And in that he described all kinds of things, but one thing that we know for sure, if you saw an angel, you would be scared. You would be amazed. You would be probably in shock. And the fact that this angel comes to the shepherds is significant. Because in that day and time, there were an expectation, but to believe that the announcement of the Messiah would come to shepherds just seemed so impossible, because there were the high elite people, followers of God. That's where they thought such a thing would happen, in the temple with those that practiced the faith, because the shepherds weren't much for practicing the faith. In fact, they were often shunned by the religious elite because they smelled, and they didn't always adhere to the ritual washings that were part of their faith. And in fact, the shepherds kind of steered away from the religious practices because they considered themselves too busy to practice such things. But you know, there's a powerful message in that God announced the birth of the Savior to these folks. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that I don't match up to that religious elite. You know, sometimes we think that there are those people out there that just have it all together when it comes to faith. They practice the right things, they say the right things, they're in the right church, and all of those things that somehow I feel I fall short. And to think that God would come to the last, the least, to the lost, and he would give that message, that glorious message of the birth of Christ. And in fact, Jesus would later even describe himself as the good shepherd. That's a pretty powerful image. And then there's that message of peace. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, it goes something like this. For us, a child is born, to us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, we tend to think of that in the broader sense of world peace and the idea that all the disruptions of the world would settle in, but there's a greater message there. It's that message of peace with God. Romans, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse says it like this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there is within our hearts a longing to connect with God. And there's this thing called sin in our lives that separates us. It's like a cloud or a curtain that keeps us from having this relationship with God, a relationship that he longs to have with us and we long to have with him, but we don't know how to get there. And we struggle, and sometimes in our hearts and minds we are in conflict with God, not knowing that we are right with him, that we have peace with him. And the angels announce this peace that passes all understanding. Philippians, the 4th chapter, says it like this. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ. Guilt, worry, threats, confusion, uncertainties. All these things tend to rob our hearts of peace. And God wants us to have this peace with him, because if we don't have that peace, we're not going to have peace with ourselves or with others. It starts there. It starts with our willingness to say, Lord, I understand that I need this relationship with you, and I give my heart to you. I invite you into my life. That's that powerful message that Luke represents. But the shepherds, the peace of God, there's something more there. There's a moment in that passage that we sometimes gloss over. It goes like this. That part that says, suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. It went from one angel to a multitude. I don't know how many a multitude is, but it's a whole lot. And in that, I imagine one angel would be scary, but a multitude of them would be terrifying. And in fact, you don't find that example in other places in Scripture. You don't find a multitude of heavenly hosts doing anything with human beings. But there's something here. There's something so special, so unique, so wonderful that the entire heavenly host come forward to shout and to praise God. What is it? What is it that they see in that moment that you and I need to see this Christmas? Well, I'm not big on poetry, but there are some things that sometimes that catch my attention. And one of those that give me the picture of that moment in which the angels declared this incredible experience describes to me what they were really saying. It's a poem by Joseph Bailey, and it goes something like this. It goes, praise God for Christmas. Praise him for the incarnation, for the Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty night or angel choristers. I will not sing of stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing distant star with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his Son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I'll sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crimes. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in my heart. The multitude is celebrating not just the birth, but the crucifixion and resurrection. They see something that we can't see in that moment, and the shepherds couldn't possibly comprehend what God had done for them, what God has done for me. In that same passage, there's a little phrase that the angels say, the good news of great joy. Well, that particular term, great joy, is only used one other place in Scripture. It's used at the resurrection. There's an intimate connection between this moment and the resurrection. The great news that is celebrated there is after Mary realizes that the Lord is risen, and she goes to share the great news. What God has done for us. I wonder if we can see that this Christmas. How far God has gone to show us that he loves us. How far he has gone to give to us a chance to have a relationship with him. Someone has said it literally is love with a face on it. How do you describe something like that? How do you describe what God has laid aside to give to us to have a relationship with him? The angels saw it. That's why they were in such amazement and glory and honor. They realized how far God had gone to make this step of love towards you and me. Dr. Siemens was a professor in my seminary. He and his wife, Ruth, were missionaries for many years before they became teachers there in the seminary. And Ruth tells a story about a fellow missionary there. In Korea. She says that this event happened to them, and it's a picture of everything she understands about the love of God. It seems that there was a young Korean girl whose husband had been killed, and she was pregnant, and it was Christmas Eve, and she knew that the birth was coming, and she was desperate, and she didn't have the resources or the means to really do what she needed to do. So she was making her way towards this missionary home. And during this particular event, it was snowing. There was some 4 foot of snow, and she had to travel over 4 miles to get there. She almost made it. Right before, almost within seeing distance of the missionary home, the birth began to happen. And so this young girl did all that she knew to do. She gathered some shelter under a bridge, and the birth came. A beautiful baby boy. But in that cold and shivering moment, she didn't know what to do, but she took off her coat and wrapped the baby as tightly as she could. Still, she didn't feel that was enough, so she took off her blouse and then her pants and even her socks and wrapped them like a cocoon around this little baby. Well, the next morning, this missionary couple, this is on Christmas morning, they leave their home and they're traveling into town to give some food to some folks. And as wildly as it seems, the jeep that they were in stalled. Right on the bridge. And the missionary got out to check and see what was happening, and he heard the cry of the baby. And he went under the bridge and found the baby. The mother had died in the night, but this baby boy was alive and doing well. They adopted him. And for 12 years, they raised this young man, and he was fine and loved the Lord, and things were good, but they just didn't know how to share with him the story of his mother. Until his 12th birthday, and it was on Christmas, they told him. And he made a strange request. He said, "Can I see where she is buried?" And so they took the young boy to her grave. And he said, can I have a few minutes So the couple backed away, and they could hear the little boy speak. He says, God, I thank you for a mother who loved me so much. Then he stepped back and he says, Mother, why would you do this for me? And there in the cold of that Christmas morning, he took off his jacket. And he says, Mother, were you colder than this for me? He took off his shirt. He said the same, Mother, were you colder than this for me? With each item of his clothing he took off, and he would say that out loud, Mother, were you colder than this for me? Until he stood there naked, and he fell on the grave. He says, Mother, were you colder than this for me? Mother, I love you. I love you. See, that's what the angels saw. They saw what God would do upon the cross. They saw how far he would go to love us and show us that love. And we can't imagine what that is like. We can't say, Lord, did you hurt more than this? Did you give up more than this? Because he gave up everything to give us a relationship with him. So my invitation to you this Christmas is very simple. Don't ignore him. Let this be a time in which you focus in on this great gift of love that he has given you and I. A love that represents how far he will go to show us that he loves us. And in return, we can love him. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that sometimes we gloss over these incredible moments of the birth of Christ. We miss the glory and magnitude of how far you have gone to show you love us. May we capture but a glimpse of that this Christmas. And in all that we do and say this year, may we not ignore the great love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.